The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's a very busy Monday here at Skyview Network Studios. On the Brad Sesmatt Show, I'm Jordan Hamm, filling in for the big guy. Got a lot to talk about. A lot of Pac-12 football to get to. ASU coming out of nowhere, beating the number 6 Ducks. U of A struggles against Utah. And Cardinals coming off the bye. So a lot to get to. Let's waste no time. This is your rundown brought to you by Sagicor Now. Sagicor Now, protect what matters most. And the story of the weekend was the Sun Devils getting that win, stopping the 4-game losing streak against plenty of teams that they frankly should have beat. Plenty of winnable games in that, and then they step up and beat the number 6 Ducks, and essentially knocking them out of the college football playoff discussion. And I wonder how that could impact Utah as well, because the past couple of weeks, the Utes, the Ducks, have been slightly on the outside looking in the college football playoff. But you could kind of chalk it out and see, had both of these teams won out, you could make a pretty darn strong argument that the winner of that Pac-12 championship game would then jump into the college football playoff. Now, the Ducks have still clinch that. They're still going to play in that game. It's still going to be probably a top 15 matchup, assuming the Utes take care of business. But is that, to the committee, a less impressive win should Utah win that game against the Ducks than if it was the 6-7 matchup? Is it assumed that the Utes would make it to the college football playoff? And that's something we'll have to figure out. And I'm sure the next couple of weeks, seeing how both of these teams continue to play and the teams in front of them do. You know that with the SEC, there will be a couple of teams that will be playing each other in that matchup as well. So a lot of moving parts. But that was one of the first things I thought of, that not only does this hurt the Ducks, could it hurt the conference as well, assuming that the Utes and the Ducks square off and the Utes were to win that game? But with ASU, you look at what they were able to do, and Jaden Daniels was just absolute nails the entire time. Started off the game, I think, 8 for 8, and just making all of the throws. And you heard Chris Fowler, you heard Kirk Herbstreit, just, were in awe of the performance that he had. He's only a freshman. The offensive line played pretty darn well. We've talked so much about the inexperience that they had at the start of the year. This was the unit that most people that were in the know were least worried about. But it's been quite up and down. But they handled a quick Ducks defense pretty darn well, and they were able to hang on until the very end. And the other big takeaway I had from this game, and I think about it the past couple of weeks after almost any big performance that he has, but Brandon Ayuk, the biggest question this past offseason was, who's going to step up for Nikhil? Can this receiving core be productive enough for Jaden Daniels? That question was quickly answered when Ayuk got off to a hot start. But this guy's getting first-round grades in the NFL draft. This was not anything that was on anybody's radar coming into this. But he's just had such a tremendous year so far. And Frank Darby as well. He's stepped up really nicely. And really, the second half of this year, made those strides. And you constantly looked at Frank Darby on the field the past couple of years and been like, man, you look at his size, you look at the measurables, you look at everything, like, how are his numbers not considerably better? But it's all coming together, and part of that was the system that they ran last year, and part of that, I think was just getting his feet under him. But now you see this guy who, looks like a Greek statue making these plays left and right, and, he's on an incredible run as well. So interesting as we head into the Territorial Cup. Seems like ASU is hitting on all the right notes, but again, this is a freshman group, a youth group, and what do young players do in college football? They do this. They go up and down each and every week. So it's not, and you throw in the rivalry factor, it's not a chalk it up for ASU type win. U of A has struggled mightily. I caught most of the Utah game. And look, in that case, U of A had to play the game of their lives to even be in that game. Utah's just the superior opponent. So, but that it's just going to be, I think, an interesting game. We have, Khalil Tate ending his career. How much is he going to play? How much is Grant Gunnell going to play? What tricks are going to be brought out for this one? Is it going to be a letdown for ASU coming off the biggest win in the Herm Edwards era? Or are they going to build off of it? They now have bowl eligibility, which is so key for a team with so many young guys that you get another month of practice with them. It doesn't matter if you're going to El Paso or you're going to the middle of nowhere or, you're going to France. It doesn't matter. You get another month with these young players to develop them, and not just the guys on the front end, but you go down the depth chart. And you're able to get those reps with those guys and further push that message out to recruits that, yeah, the young guys are going to play if they're good enough and they're ready enough. This month will get them prepared for that, to even push them that much further. So, and one other thing about ASU, we saw Kyle Soley playing all over the place, former Saguaro Sabercat. And this was a guy that made a commitment, and it was one of those like, yeah, this is going to be a nice depth role, I think, for him. No one was anticipating him to play a major role. And for the most part, he has been a depth guy. He's been tremendous on special teams. He's been in that like kind of next group of linebackers behind the starters, getting a lot of playing time. But he had some key plays and was just able. You can tell he's so prepared. And Saguaro continuing to send linebackers over to ASU when you have Kyle, you have his younger brother, Connor, Will Schaefer, who was making plays in the semifinals. I think that those are the brand of linebackers that Saguaro is sending over there to ASU. And it's not going to be, you look at the stars, you look at the measurables, it's not going to jump off the page, but these are good football players. And those are the type of players you need in a team, because that attrition is going to happen, whether it's players moving on, players transferring out, players getting hurt. You need to have those guys that know their stuff and able to step in. And Kyle Soley has really been able to do that. So Cardinals have the bye, and I think it came at a very fortunate time for them. They were looking pretty beat up, and I think you have so many young players that mental wear can certainly take effect. And on the bonus side, they're taking on the Rams this week, a Rams team that has been up and down, plenty of offensive struggles. We'll see if the defense can take advantage. They haven't really been able to take advantage of many offenses this year, but they're coming off a short week. They're playing against the Ravens. If you subscribe to the body blow theory like I do, this is more prominent in college football. And essentially the theory from Bruce Feldman is you play a team like Stanford, who is physical and just going to maul you. There are going to be significant effects the following week. So the Rams are going to have one less day. They're going to play a very good team that, yes, they can air it out with Lamar Jackson, but they can run it down your throat with Jackson and Mark Ingram as well. And they have some a nasty defense and a nasty offensive line. So could the Rams come in a little beat up with a fresh Cardinal team? This could be the making for a potential upset here. Now, it could also take a while for the Cardinals to shake the rust off a little bit. We don't want to see a repeat performance of them opening the season where it felt like, they were playing peewee football and couldn't move the ball. And then all of a sudden in the fourth quarter, things clicked. You want to see them get out hot, obviously coming off of a bye week against a team that I think personally is going to beat up. I think these are very winnable games for the Cardinals moving forward. In the second half, you have two against the Rams. You have one against the Browns, against the Steelers. The next three games are at home. I think that's going to be more important for a team with this much youth than maybe other NFL teams. It's going to help any team. But especially with a young team, not having to deal with the travel, not having to deal, with the ups and downs and, that sort of thing. If you can go to your home field 3 weeks in a row, I think that's going to be pretty important. And I think that they could sneak a couple of wins out of there. So we're going to have Jody Jackson coming up next. Have a great show with Jody Jackson, Michael Fabiano, and Greg Biggins, talking some recruiting, talking some Cardinals, talking fantasy football. That's all coming up next on the Brad Sussmat Show. Welcome back to the Brad Sussmat Show. I'm Jordan Hamm, filling in for the big guy. We are now joined by Fox Sports Arizona's Jody Jackson. She is everywhere throughout the valley, covering some of the top pro teams here in the state. Jody, thanks so much for joining us.
Glad to join you, Jordan.
So it's been a busy time of year here with the Coyotes. Just how much of a difference has it made this year to last year? Last year, so many injuries that they really had to get through, and now it seems like that's developed some really good depth, and they brought in some key members along that team. Just how different is it this year versus last year?
Well, they kind of started building it. You felt like it was coming on at the end of 2018-2019 season. Really from January until the season ended in April, and they were 4 points out of a playoff spot. You know, Darcy Kuemper was unbelievable. You kind of started to see Rick Tocchet get this group to completely buy into what they're trying to do it more consistently. I think the biggest factor is there are really young players on this team. Guys like Clayton Keller, and then guys that were brought over in trades, Hinostroza, Schmaltz, who was injured last year. They're all that much more mature this season. Christian Fisher, Christian Dvorak. So you've got that group. You've got the goaltending now where you've got Kuemper still doing what he was doing. You've got Raanta, who's healthy now, and he's been outstanding as well. And so the group is now playing the way Tocchet envisioned. You add a veteran like Carl Soderberg, like Phil Kessel, and it's just kind of all coming together. And you're right, they haven't had too many devastating injuries like they did last year. But when Nick Dremelson went out, everyone wondered how were they going to really lock up that blue line and have that presence there. He's such a great player. And yet they've been able to pretty much get by with the guys that they have, doing a real nice job. Guys like Alex Goligoski have stepped up. Jacob Chychrun's healthy and maturing right now. So it is. It's all going well. For the Coyotes, they just have to keep doing it. That's the hard part, is that consistency. And of course, you cross your fingers and hopefully everyone does stay healthy.
As we look at the Arizona Cardinals coming off the bye week, been a chance for most of us to kind of take a look at the full picture of what these Arizona Cardinals have been able to do so far this year. What's your biggest takeaway on their accomplishments so far this year with Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray leading the helm?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to process through 11 games. A lot of it good and some of it bad. The record is not what you want. It's interesting to me. I watched the other night, you know, you're watching the ASU game with Jaden Daniels. You're watching the Cardinals with Kyler Murray. Here are two teams that have really a quarterback that has proven in a short amount of time that they can really deliver the ball, run. They're smart. They, you know, making good decisions, not necessarily comparing Daniels to Kyler, because, you know, Kyler Murray was the first overall pick and there's a lot of promise there that you kind of knew and maybe expected to be there, and Heisman Trophy winner. But, you know, unfortunately the defenses for these teams are not where you need them to be to win games. So my point going back to the Cardinals is, you know, the defense has held the record back, in my opinion. Not to say the offense has been perfect, but Kyler Murray, Cliff Kingsbury, that duo has shown, and I think already created a lot of confidence from the organization within, from the fans on the outside, that Kingsbury's smart. He's a good offensive coordinator. He's learning on the head coach front. He's shown a willingness to adjust. And Kyler Murray, I think, Jordan, you know, has been so impressive in a number of ways. For a young guy, I think you look 2-3 years down the line and you say, what is he going to be doing when he really has even a better handle on all of this? But my takeaway, unfortunately, for the defense is not good. I was just looking up some numbers. You know, they have had, so for example, the Cardinals have had 124 first downs through this portion of the season. They have given up, and that's passing first downs, my bad, passing first downs. They have given up 173 passing first downs. They've given up 29 passing touchdowns. So, you know, whether it's the DBs, getting more pressure on the front end, the entire unit has to clamp down on the explosive passing plays that the opponents have had. And I really think they'd have a couple more wins. So you're kind of looking for that. But, you know, you never take anything for granted. What they've been doing well, you hope they can continue doing that these last couple of weeks.
A lot of youth on this roster. How much of an impact do you think it's going to have coming off the bye and having three straight games at home for these young guys to not have to deal with the travel or anything and really just focus on what's going on the field?
Yeah, I mean, hopefully, you know, they don't go into college mode and say, oh, good. You kind of want it to be a breather, but not like relax and we're done. It's like a breather and here we go, right? There's more to go. And I think we've seen some strides from Andy Isabella, Keyshawn Johnson. Kyler Murray has been laser focused, and you certainly know he's going to be ready for these final five games. And you hope that any, you know, they all have, whether they're not, you know, a lot of guys luckily have not been injured. They've had suffered a few that hurt them, no question. But you hope a guy like Patrick Peterson, you know, not a young guy, but a guy that maybe could benefit from the bye week and that calf injury that he was dealing with, because he hasn't really looked like himself this season. And so with the young guys, though, yeah, you hope that they come back refreshed and ready to go. You know, the coaches are going to say, look, there's these five games are very important. Like you said, two at home, or I should say three at home in the month of December. So it is a little more comfortable. You stay here in town. You're not doing all that traveling. And hopefully it pays off for them.
I think we knew coming into the season it wasn't going to be a one-year turnaround coming off that 3-13 season. But what does this team have to do over the next five games to deem it a successful season?
Well, that's interesting. That's a really good question, actually, because it depends on how you're going to measure things. I think at this point, you know, 3-7-1, they don't like the look of that record, and they won a couple games, and now they've lost four in a row, and it's just, you know, I think to close out games. And if they don't, though, you know, you still say, well, they've done a lot of good things, and you're not going to just throw everything out, and especially offensively what they've been able to do. So I guess for me, you know, of course, these guys, they want to win. They want to be able to close out some games. So hopefully they can be competitive in these games and win a couple of them. The schedule's tough. We know that. But again, you're not going to just throw, because if they don't notch a win, I mean, you would hope they would end up with more than three wins, though, with all the progress that they've made. They would not want to end with three or four. They'd like to have, you know, four or five at least. And, maybe even get up to six, you know, you never know, but you can't just go by wins in this situation, because like you said, it was really billed as a rebuilding season anyway.
Jody, we appreciate the time and the insight as always. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Jordan.
This is the Brad Sesmatt Show. We are pushing to the fantasy football playoffs. You have fantasy football questions. He has fantasy football answers. Michael Fabiano, NFL Network senior fantasy analyst, joins us for his weekly segment. Michael, thanks so much for joining us.
You're welcome. How are you?
Doing well. As we, like I said, pushing ahead throughout the football season. So always a fun time of year. Wanted to start things off with Amari Cooper and what we've seen out of him the past couple of weeks. Off to a great start at the beginning of the year, but was shut out this past week. Is this a cause for concern for Amari Cooper owners?
I mean, it's not good. You know, he also was basically held in check by Darius Slay the week before, only had 38 yards. And this week, he's got the Bills and Tre'Davious White on Thanksgiving. Then you've got Chicago at Soldier Field, and then Jalen Ramsey and the Rams. And then a road game against the Eagles. Like, the schedule is really bad for Amari Cooper. I'm not saying that you should sit him. I did tell people if they had a wide receiver who clearly isn't as valuable because Cooper is a stud, but a player who you trusted that had a really good matchup, I could see sitting Amari Cooper. And I feel like that's going to be the same over the next 4 weeks. The problem is, I mean, overall, this guy has been one of the best wide receivers in fantasy football, and you'd hate to sit him and leave a big performance on the bench, especially at home where he's really thrived. So most people are going to be starting Amari Cooper, but he does have one of the tougher schedules in the National Football League over the last 4 weeks from a fantasy perspective.
On the other end of the spectrum, four wide receivers, Chris Godwin, another just great performance that he put on. He had a really strong start to the year, seemed like he might have been slowing down a little bit after the bye, but then able to put up 184 yards against the Falcons. Do you attribute this incredible performance more to the matchup and taking advantage of that, or do you think that he could be on another stretch as we push to the postseason where he's just catching balls left and right?
I mean, the matchup is clearly part of it. Atlanta had actually come in playing pretty well on the defensive side the previous 2 weeks, and then they sort of morphed back into the Atlanta Falcons defense that we all knew from earlier in the year, which was really bad. So Godwin's been a must-start basically since week one. He was one of my favorite breakout candidates. The guy has actually delivered more than I think a lot of people even expected of him, between him and Mike Evans. I mean, unfortunately, a lot of times it's either one or the other for fantasy owners, but they've been putting up huge numbers overall this season. He is a must-start. They've got Jacksonville coming up, and they've got Indianapolis week 15 at Detroit, and then Houston in week 16. So the schedule is not bad. Chris Godwin clearly has become one of the top wide receivers in fantasy football. And that duo with him and Evans, is there a better one in fantasy at wide receiver right now?
I don't think so. But
nope. That's the best one.
So with Sam Darnold, how would you, he had the slow start to the year, obviously, with plenty of things health related. But how do you assess him as a fantasy quarterback coming off that performance against Oakland?
So when he was coming back from the mono, I liked him. I says, you know what? You know, Darnold's going to be a guy that you're going to be able to use when the matchups are right. And then he had that awful game against the Patriots where he was, quote, seeing ghosts. And then he was very mediocre against Miami. And that was a great matchup. And you're thinking, boy, man, maybe Darnold's just not going to get it done this season. Well, since that Miami game, 21-plus points in every single game. He's got Cincinnati this week and then Miami. So if Darnold's out there, listen, some of these big-name quarterbacks, and this week was a huge example of it, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Dak Prescott, Carson Wentz, Russell Wilson. That's just to name a few of the big-name quarterbacks who were bad for fantasy owners yesterday and this week. So Darnold suddenly is a guy that you could stream. And playing the Bengals and the Dolphins the next 2 weeks, I think you have confidence in him. So if he's out there and you need a quarterback, I'd be going out and picking him up.
For Chris Carson owners, how confident should they be in him moving forward? This past week, you saw Rashard Penny get the bulk of the carries against the Eagles. Do you think that's more of an isolated game, or could this be a trend of seeing the carries start to go away from Carson?
Well, see, the problem is, and it's always been, his fumbling issues. Right? He put the ball on the ground, in back-to-back second-half plays. You can't do that. And remember earlier in the year, Carson had the fumbling issue and Pete Carroll stuck with him and said, hey, he's still going to be our guy. Now, if Pete comes back out and says, we got to stick with Chris, I would think that Penny will be added off the waiver wire and maybe not started, and especially because they have a really tough matchup against Minnesota on Monday night, on December 2nd. So I would suggest that Carson will still be the better fantasy running back moving forward. I would like to hear something from Pete Carroll, and I'm sure we will today or tomorrow. But it's bad to see a running back as talented as he is have so many problems holding on to the football, because that is almost always going to land you potentially on the bench, and that's what happened with Carson yesterday. So I would really be keeping tabs on what Pete Carroll has to say about the situation. And honestly, Carson was almost a fade for me in this game because the matchup's tough. The Eagles are tough against the run, and he's got the Vikings coming up. So the matchups are not doing Carson any favors either.
Talking to NFL Network senior fantasy analyst Michael Fabiano. Speaking of running backs that might be in the doghouse, David Johnson. I know they're coming off the bye week, but is there a way that you can see him kind of salvaging this fantasy football season with the remaining month or so of the season left?
No, and I love David. He's a great guy. I root for him. But here's the problem. Kenyon Drake surpassed him on the depth chart. We saw that before the bye. So in that scenario, we saw David Johnson barely play over the last few weeks. And then Chase Edmonds is going to be closer and closer to coming back. We're going to have to keep tabs on his status. I can't trust David right now. I just can't do it. And again, he was having a good season, got banged up. Chase Edmonds came in, had that big game against the Giants, and he went down. They traded for Drake. Drake had the big game against the 49ers. And, I don't know if you're going to see a three-headed monster once Edmonds comes back, but, we drafted David Johnson due in large part to the fact that he was a featured runner. That's not the case anymore.
When you look at the Cardinals coming off the bye, they're going to be facing off against a Rams defense that's one of the better fantasy defenses in the league. But they'll be coming off of a short week. How do you assess the matchups then for the Cardinals this upcoming week, for if you have any Cardinals on your fantasy roster?
So the Cardinals sort of are what they are, right? So the backfield right now is really hard to navigate. Kyler Murray is a start almost every week. Especially lately. Those two games against the Niners where he had over 23 fantasy points were very telling for me. And Brad will tell you, I loved Kyler coming into the season, and he's met and exceeded expectations. Larry Fitzgerald is a hard play for me right now. Christian Kirk is going to be a hard play for me, assuming that he's going to get the Jalen Ramsey treatment. Kirk was great a couple of weeks ago against Tampa Bay, and then kind of came back down to earth the following week against the Niners. The Cardinals have a lot of matchup-based players outside of Kyler, so... For example, this upcoming week, I wouldn't play David Johnson. If Kenyon Drake is active, he's probably just a flex. And in terms of their wide receivers, I'd probably be looking to fade both Christian Kirk and Larry Fitzgerald. And if I had to play one of them, it'd probably be Fitz because the matchup's going to be better, assuming that Jalen Ramsey is going to be covering Christian in that contest. So it's all about Kyler Murray at this point for this team. When the matchups get a little bit better, maybe down the stretch, maybe things will be different. But for this week against the Rams, it's a tough road for the Cardinals fantasy players this week.
Michael, we appreciate the time and the insight as always. Thanks for joining us.
All right, take care.
That is Michael Fabiano, senior fantasy analyst for the NFL Network.